our good and faithful God. We pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it is good to be back, and it is a great time to be together, and we do as has been prayed and has been talked about. We long to be with one another, and that's the way it should be. That's the way God has designed it, His church, and we are a community, and that we love one another, and people should see how we love one another. And so I'm excited about the new series that we are starting. I am nervous about being the first guy to start the preaching. But I'm always nervous when I stand in this place, so it's not unusual for me. But we are starting a series on God's providence. And I am basically just going to try to lay a very, very small foundation and give some sort of framework so that the message that will follow by Josh and Isaac and Pastor Rush and these guys will come in and they will fill in these things. We will set up a framework here and kind of talk through it, but not in tremendous detail. And so you will need to do a lot of writing. And in the introduction, I'm going to go ahead and give you your first application. Your first application is to go back and pull up the Heidelberg Catechism and read these statements again. And not only read them, meditate on them, look at them, because they're backed by Scripture. So spend time looking at the Scriptures, because it's not because of the statement that men came up with for an explanation that is so powerful, but it is the Scriptures behind that that drove them to say, this is what this means. And so when you read those statements, and I listen to you read those statements this morning, that is, there are some things in there that you said that came out of your mouth, and one of them was, I will have no doubt. We all know that's not totally possible, but grasping this, God's providence, should and can radically change our lives. These are awesome statements that are sometimes very hard to believe. Things that come into our lives and it makes it difficult to believe. Yet to believe this is to change everything in your life. To believe in the providence of God, His sovereignty, His providence working together according to His Word will change the way that you live. I want you to believe this because it is biblical. It is the way that we should be living our lives as Christians. And because it brings so much strength into your life to believe this. And if we are able to believe this and work through the times where it is a struggle. Question 27 really kind of describes and gives a good answer to our first point is, what is God's providence? It tells us, there's one who stated, absolutely everything that needs to be done to bring about His purposes, God sees to it that it happens. You can write this down. I'll go through a lot of Scripture this morning. I'm not going to probably read every one of them, but I want you to reference these and go back as we make further applications. Excuse me. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Good passage scripture says, remember the former things long past, for I am God. There is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. This is part of what we look at and we say, what is God's providence? It is His plan that He's working from eternity past and through eternity future. Every detail. It is perfect. It is perfect. It is being worked out perfectly. Every detail, working according to His will for His glory. This grand, glorious just working of this redemption plan that He has placed in place. It's perfect even when it doesn't appear perfect to me. There are times when things that are going on and it just does not seem like this is perfect. It's complete. Nothing is missing. There's no mistakes. There's no hiccups. There's no oops. God doesn't oops. He is working things perfectly. Another part is in God's providence. It is for my good. Pastor Rush, and I think he's, if he sticks with this, Lord willing, and if God changes his mind, but I think he's going to preach from Romans 8:28 on his passage. And it talks about how what God does, and it is for my good. And sometimes it doesn't seem that way. It's a secret. These are things for you to remember when you are in providences of God. It's a secret. Some things we know in general that are the will of God and the way that we should live our lives. But the future, He knows every detail. He knows everything that will be needed. God hides it from me. I learn it day by day. As I walk with Him, moment by moment, sometimes is the way that it comes. We make our plans. He orders our steps. And we say, Lord willing, we will do this. There are good providences. And there are difficult providences. You have in the good providences of God, you have things that go on as such as healings. We receive blessings, as we well know. Prosperity. God's providence and prosperity in our life and why He makes us prosperous and what we should be doing with that. Unexpected gifts that come. Your government check. Glorious moments in nature. You've seen things, sunsets. We used to go snow skiing back when we were way, way younger. I don't even use 20 years anymore because that's really recent. It's more like 30 or 40 for me. But we used to go to Colorado. God gave us a great deal out there. And before children. But there's a place in Vail when you go up the gondola and you walk out the back side of that building where you get off and go put your skis on. And there's nothing but massive mountains and untouched land that you can see on a day like today. That is forever. And you stand there and you think, He just spoke it into order. Our daily provisions, our joyful experiences. We've had a lot of babies born. I saw a baby today for the first time. She's, 2 months old? Yeah? Joyful experiences. Then there's difficult providences. Illnesses that come, unfulfilled dreams, plans that we have and that get thwarted, that seem to be right, loss of work, being fired, losing a job, totally unexpected. Work has changed for many during these days of the pandemic. Godly desires that are unmet. Tragedies. Death. These are providence of God. And what is He doing? I want us to take a look. And I'm going to make some application here. But you look at the life of Joseph. I would encourage you to go back this week. Read through that. And here's some things that happened in Joseph's life. And he at 17 years of old, of age, he is a favored child. And all of his brothers and siblings know that he is the favored child. He's even got a colored tunic, a coat that his dad has given to him. And the rest of his brothers do not like him. If you read the scriptures going, they can't even speak peaceably with one another. We've had moments of times in our kids' life where that kind of took place also. But you see, Joseph is not well liked. His father sends him out. He goes, he brings a bad report back to him. So there's things that are going on. The brothers do not like him. They hate him, is what the scriptures say. The father sends him out and they're shepherding, and he says, go bring me a report on your brothers. So Joseph comes out. His brothers see him coming. And they see him coming going, here's our chance. We're going to do away with this guy. We're going to kill him. So he comes and they take and they throw him into a pit and they set to kill him. And so as he is in this pit, I'm switching over to a passage of scripture here real quick. In Genesis 42:21. But he's in this pit and along comes a group of folks and they're going to say, hey, one of his brothers, Judah, says, hey, why don't we sell him? Let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him. And that way we can profit from what is going on. And in that moment, later on in the scriptures, as you're reading, it comes back, and as his brothers are before him and they're being found out, they remember. And they look and they say in chapter 42, verse 21, then they said to one another, truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. I want you to look at this and remember, as we look at Joseph's story and we look at the things that are happening, this is an evil event. And here is a young boy who is crying out to his brothers, don't do this. He refers to it later as being kidnapped. So I don't want you to look at, we get to look at the whole story of Joseph and we know the end. But if you stink and you look at what Joseph is going through and not understanding, not knowing, just like us as we walk day by day with God, we do not know what a day may bring forth. Joseph did not know. I want you to know. We don't have the answer. We don't know how much he may have asked, what is happening, but he is in great distress, and his brothers remembered it. He gets sold into slavery. He goes into Egypt. Potiphar buys him, puts him in charge of his whole household. God is with him, and he is prospering him. Joseph is put in charge of everything. So in this process, in his life there, in Potiphar's household, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's way, Potiphar's wife decides that she really likes Joseph a lot, asked him to do something, and he refused. Falsely accused and given one of the most godly responses to a temptation that you will ever come across. His response to her and her request was, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? And for that godly response, she gets angry. Potiphar comes back. He runs. He leaves his coat. She keeps his coat. And then she tells him that he tried to make sport of her. Potiphar has him thrown in jail. God's providence, in the most unbelievably great response, and he ends up in jail. What in the world is going on? He's in jail. He gets put in charge of all the guys in the jail. The chief jailer realizes, going, man, you can see God with this young man. He's prospering what he does. And yet evil still keeps happening. He's put in charge during that time. There are two guys that get put into the jail where he's at that were cupbearers and bakers of the king. And so in that, they were thrown in there. So they both have dreams. Joseph interprets those dreams. One of you is going to live and be restored back to your position. The other one, you're going to be hung in 3 days. All this is going to happen in 3 days. Joseph said, hey, when you go out there, don't forget me. I want to get out of here. They go out, and exactly what happened, as Joseph said it would happen. The cupbearer was restored to his position. The baker was hung, put to death. and the cupbearer forgot him. How is that possible? Because in 2 years from now, he doesn't forget. Because Pharaoh's going to have a dream. And the cupbearer remembers going, hey, there's a guy in jail that interpreted our dreams, and it came about just exactly how he said it would. So he calls him up. Joseph interprets the dream of Pharaoh. God is going to bring a famine. God himself is going to cause a famine to come on the land. But before that, there's going to be a lot of plenty. So you need to prepare. And so he put Joseph in charge of everything. He gives him his signet ring. There is nothing that is not above Joseph except for the king. Joseph prepares, has years, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And in all this, God is bringing about the very evil that his brothers brought on him to accomplish Joseph being used to be able to support the people of the land and bring his family and support his family. And in those two dreams, he said, you guys are going to bow down to me. Not only are you brothers going to bow down to me, but my mother and my father will bow down to me. And it comes about, you need to read this whole story. There is more and more there, but God is using all of this, and he keeps working in Joseph to bring about, to bring provision and to be used to cause people to live and to provide for them. Joseph keeps walking, and all through there it says the Lord is with him. Yet he did not know what was going on. And this at the end of this scene, there's 22 years that has passed for this to come about and be accomplished. Have you waited on anything for 22 years? Have you watched and seen what God has done in your life, and in 22 years later you start to see, wow. 22 years, and he ends up in Genesis chapter 50. Verses 18. This, his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in God's place. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Joseph had no idea when he was being sold by his brothers what God was doing. There are times when things come into our lives we have no idea what God is doing. We keep walking. Joseph kept walking. If you go on down in verse 24, you see in here, this is Joseph, and these are his last words. He's dying. His brothers are around. And it said, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph is living on the promises of God. He knew, he had been taught. He knew God's promises. He is reminding his brothers, this is what God says. We know God's promises. What is God's purpose in his providences, and especially his difficult providences? What is the purpose? We're going to go through a few. We're going to go quickly. But this is clearly, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are things to remind ourselves when providence is coming. What is God doing? What is his purpose in it? He's refining us. He is sanctifying us. Andrew Fuller makes this statement, afflictions refine some, they consume others. The test of a person's Christianity is what happens in the storm when the house is battered with winds of affliction. So point number two is looking at what is God's purpose in difficult providences. He's refining us. He's growing our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed in various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and the glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's growing our trust. Jot these down. Psalm 56, 4 and 11. Psalm 62, verse 8. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Jeremiah 17, 7. Trust. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope. God is growing our trust in Him, even when we cannot see and we do not know. You have to remind yourself in these difficult providences, this is what we know, this is what God says to us. God refining us, J.C. Ryles makes this statement. The tools the great architect, capital A, the tools that the great architect intends to use much are often kept long in the fire to temper them and fit them for His work. Do we really long to be used by God? Do we? I think we do. I think we long to do great things for the Lord. I think we long just to be faithful day in and day out. We need to learn to know that we need to embrace those times of difficulty when the fire, God is purifying us in sometimes most difficult providences. He's building godly character, Romans 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Really? Really? Not only this, but we also exult, we glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. He's building godly character. These tribulations, the word there has the meaning of like pressing grapes, pressing olives, pushing down, smashing. So much so that the oils come out. The juice comes out. That's the work that God is doing in us. When you see these difficult providences and we have those questions, He asks, do you love me? You have the story of Abraham and Isaac. Go sacrifice Isaac. He goes and God stops and goes, now I know. Now I know. Think of Peter after his denial of Christ, one of the most intimate moments that you will see, where Christ comes alongside him after him being broken, left, gone back to what he knows. He's at the beach. He's fishing for fish. And he comes alongside Peter and goes, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times, man, Peter's like, "Yes, Lord, I love you." That's what God is working in us. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 through 19. It states, "No figs, no fruit on the trees, no olives on the trees, no fruit on the vines. The fields are empty. There is no food. The flocks have been cut off. There is no cattle. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength." That's what God is doing and working in us, bringing us to that point. Is He enough? Is God enough? Is He who I love? That's the great question. Do we have a God who is worthy of our worship in all situations? Yes. Yes. And you remind yourself, this is what He's doing in these difficult moments that are totally unbearable. It does not make it necessarily easy. It doesn't relieve the pain and suffering, but as you go through, you remind and you grab great joy in knowing there is a smiling face behind this difficult providence. And He's glorying in what He's doing in this trophy of grace that He is building in us. Another purpose, it exposes our sins. Our heart's desires, our ruling desires. What's ruling us? What do I really long for? Does it line up with what God's Word says to me? Are my responses or my emotions, are they godly? Do they line up with the Scriptures in these difficult times? Or am I back here in my default mode of my worldliness and my desires of this world? What are the desires that are ruling us? Joseph seemed to know and have lived on those promises and experienced and did the things that he was supposed to do. Another purpose in these is to know God better. I'm not going to go over there. I was going to, but for sake of time, just kind of want to go and grab from Job for a little bit. And in there you start to read in what's taking place, and Satan says, does he fear God for nothing? God puts Job on display as one of His trophies of grace. Job didn't do things perfectly. The other thing, Job doesn't know what's going on either. It's a mystery. He has no idea that he is being a part of a battle between God and Satan. We have no idea what sometimes the purposes of God are. We have to trust. That's why you need to remember these things in these difficult times. I do want to finish one part of Job 42 and you get to the end. Because this is what's happening. Job gets a revelation of God. Not only Job's asked questions, just like we have questions. We wonder, why? What are you doing? Where am I going? Why are you doing this? Job asks questions. He doesn't get specific answers. What he gets is a revelation of God. And God asking Job a series of question after question after question after question. This is who I am. This is who I am. And over in 5 and 6 he goes, I've heard you by the hearing of my ears. We know God's promises. We may have them memorized. We may know them in the Scriptures. But have you fleshed them out? He says, I have heard of you by the hearing of my ears, but now My eyes see you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Job came to see God in a different way. Providence is the outworking of the Word of God. The promises you know in God's Word and providences become forged in your heart to build in us. God is enough. God is enough. God is my all. Though you strip it all away, could we say that? We've been in difficult days and there's been, we will call righteous anger, maybe. Rush taught me righteous anger don't last very long. It quickly turns to, I want vengeance. Martin Luther says, no man without trials can attain a true understanding of the Holy Scriptures. Lastly, in the list, the very short list, difficult providences prepare us for usefulness. God used a story and a message of Joseph in my life to clarify direction for me one time. And it was in the process of unsettling me where I was, moving my heart to something I had no idea, Ohio, the state of Ohio, and me living there. Never, ever, 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 not in a dream, not in indigestion, not in nothing. I live in Florida. I've been told more times I've been here, you know you got this backwards. People don't move from Florida to Ohio. They move from Ohio to Florida. But yet, as I look back and I see God's hand in my life in times we had no idea what was going on, God preparing me, even to the point in my last days on staff at church in Jacksonville, was moved to a campus where we went and set up in a school. I had no idea that he was preparing me to come here to help Pastor Rush start a church in a school, and knowing what that would take. Preparing us to move us from one place to another, to make that separation of 30 years of service to the Lord in one church and being on staff, the love that you have, you know, the love that we have and longing to be back together. And we see this as temporary. But God will take and draw us and put us in places, those who leave as missionaries. That's hard. It's hard. But it's God working and He is preparing us. The final point is, what is our comfort in these difficult providences? Quickly. What is our comfort in difficult providences? First and foremost, it's the Holy Spirit. God has given His Spirit within us. John 14:6-26. John 15:26. These are just places where it's just, He is our comforter. He comes. He is our teacher. He will remind us of things. He will lead and guide us. He will convict us. He will encourage us. Oh, that we would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is very difficult. Every moment of every day. Walking by God's Spirit. Reminding yourself, remember in these, it's a mystery. Most of the time, there is no immediate answers to the difficulties that we go through. He's not going to give us those. Remember, when we start to ask why, remember, what are we doing? We are really asking God, explain yourself to me. Explain yourself to me. What are you doing? He owes us no explanation. We owe Him our total worship. Be careful. Be careful. Stop. Walk through. Search the Scriptures. He's teaching us in the difficulty of silence. No answers. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. My ways are not your ways. My ways are far higher than your ways. I hope you'll go back and look at these scriptures. Deep root them into us for days that will come so that we will be used by God. Always remember, it's all about love. And it is good for me. Always. Always. Here's another quote for you. From Dr. Pastor Rush Witt. This is just a week or two ago. At any point in time, no matter what is going on, God is doing the best thing for you at that time. I thought, man, can you not question that? There are days that are difficult, and it is hard to believe God is doing the best thing for me right now. Finally, it is draw us near to God. I'm not going to read the scriptures. I was going to Psalm 73. That's a good one because the psalmist is writing and he's like, he's overwhelmed. Look at what's going on and the wicked are prospering. I've done all that I've done in trying to live for you and keep my heart pure, and it's been for nothing. And then he has this transition right in the middle of the psalm. He says, but then I went to the house of the Lord. Then I hear the preaching of the word. Then I go to the scriptures and I'm reminded and I remember and I know what God's providence is. And it's why we pour these things into us, because He is going to bring difficulty on us. If we're going to be used mightily by God, then we're going to go and we'll take great risks for God. I've heard that statement. It almost doesn't make sense to me. How is it a risk if He's in control of all things? And He is working all things for His good and for His glory, then I need to be right in the middle of it. We had a conversation in our community group the other day about going downtown and going, should we be down there? Should we be sharing the gospel with those folks? Nobody has the answer down there. You may make things better, and we pray and hope that it does get better. We want justice. We want things to be right with one another. We don't like hate. We're commanded to love our enemies. But are we fearful to go down there and go, oh, I don't know, don't get in there. That's not wise. We're here to take the gospel to this community. You got thousands of people down there that are willing to march. They believe in what they believe in. Their cause is nothing close to what we are called to. You want to know where you can go share the gospel? Downtown. Matter of fact, it's moving into the suburbs. You don't even have to drive downtown. It's on the corner in Gahanna. It's happening over in Westerville. It's everywhere. Go, ask them, why you do this? What's your hope? Let me tell you about my hope. This is a hope that won't disappoint. What you're hoping in, it ain't going to work. Not going to fix it. Not going to fix it. I'm all for making it better. Yes, absolutely. Draws us near to God. Read those scriptures. Hebrews 4:16. We've already been through that in our messages. Hebrews 10:22. James 4:8. In all of these, in the difficulties of the providences, we are usually more anxious to get rid of the problem than to find the purpose of God in it. Here's your application. This week, I want you to pay great attention to detail in your life. Journal. Journal your days. Evaluate in this, in the light of God's providence. Rush said way back, every interaction we have is a divine appointment. Absolutely. Absolutely. God works in every detail. Check your responses. Are you walking with God? Are we walking in the Spirit? Maybe you're going through a difficult time at this point in providence. You've got questions. Go back over these and apply them to your lives. Evaluate every day in detail, knowing God is in every detail. He knows everything that's going on. We're sitting going, this is chaos. Not to God. Not to God. It's happening according to His plan. I hope that you will pray, that you will put effort into these next 4 weeks and these messages, and you will embrace this. This will radically transform us in the way that we live. Man, we long to raise the people who love God, who will follow Him, though you strip it all away. Yet I will praise the God of my salvation. So look at the cross, the greatest evil ever done and the greatest love ever demonstrated. If you're here, you're sitting in here, you don't know Christ as Savior by God's providence, you sit right here. You hear the Word of God. You're watching on media. It's God's providence that you would hear this. That His, if you go back over to Isaiah, He finishes out there in 46, going, my salvation is near, my righteousness is near. He calls you, come to Jesus today. There is this great redemption plan that is being working, and there is an end coming to it. We don't know when that is. It's a mystery. Christ Himself doesn't even know when that is. But it's coming. And when it's done, it's done. You need to come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You so much. We get so consumed by this world. We get so pressured by this world that we have to fight the fight. I pray that You help each one of us to grow in not only just the knowledge of the Scriptures, but as You work Your providence in our life, that we would walk in different ways. We would see more of You. We would know You. We would run to You quickly. We would embrace the fact, even in all of the hurt. And I know there is people that hurt far beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life. And yet You are doing those things for good. It is also even a preparation for us for glory. There's so much here. I pray that You will grow in this church, in this place. People who are great redwoods, have been through the fire, and yet they still stand. They bear the marks of the fires that's come, and yet they still stand. And they go forth proclaiming the gospel for those who need to know Christ. Oh, save them today. We plead and beg that by Your Spirit, there's those that are listening that will come to Christ today. Lord, we love You. We long to love You more. We long to be more faithful. We long to be strong. Only by Your power and by Your Spirit. But You can accomplish that work in us. And we praise You for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.